and welcome. It's hour number three of our radio program. And we turn to the Motor City, a story that has legs after all these days here since last weekend. An aggressive coaching being called out in Detroit. Was the Lions defensive back coach Aubrey Pleasant inbounds or out of bounds with his finger pointing, shouting, and screaming at a Lions defensive back? We'll get to that right now in hour number three. A Motor City brouhaha. Welcome in the beginning of yet another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are side by side in the air everywhere as we live in the moment, coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from deep inside the Magic Radio Box, the Fox Sports Radio Studios, in a secret location in the North Woods. So our lead this hour coming from the coach's room, but really the sidelines. The fallout continues from the furor that took place in the Motor City. Now, you should never talk too much about the Detroit Lions. I've already reached my quota. Here we are again, the second time this week. We had a Calvin Johnson Maller monologue earlier this week. Now we're back at it again because of some confusion, some people upset by a disturbance on the sidelines. The Lions defense was getting absolutely torched. They were pantsed by Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers in that football game back in week one. And while Detroit made a valiant effort at coming back in that game, they did cover the point spread. Bet on the Lions, who won money with the point spread. But it was a toxic spill on the defensive side of the ball. And you might have seen this, but maybe not. So the game featured a sideline confrontation, the hurly-burly that took place between the Lions defensive back coach, you probably don't know who that is, Aubrey Pleasant. Not so pleasant. Aubrey Pleasant was in the middle of this pandemonium, and he was screaming and shouting and pointing at Jeff Okuda, the defensive back there for the Lions. He had been burned. This guy Elijah Mitchell had rumbled and stumbled 38 yards on a scamper for a touchdown in the first half. Now the moment, that particular moment, was saved for posterity's sake by the Fox TV cameras. Pleasant, the defensive back coach, was, as I said, yelling. He was spitting. He was pointing his finger at the defensive back's chest there. He was so impassioned that his coaching headset fell off his head. He got that worked up into a lather. Now, other players had to step over and get in between the two warring factions. That confrontation upset a few people around the NFL, including a former All-Pro, Steve Smith, who's now a talking head on state-sponsored NFL Network. Well, Steve Smith, a former Carolina Panther, Baltimore Raven, he was not happy with the sideline escapades that took place there, saying it is a sign of what's to come later this season in Detroit. Quote, this is a quote, "We need to stop upping our standards, or we need to stop upping our standards for players and lowering our standards for coaches." Smith started his rant. He continued by saying, "We need to have them on the same playing field. We need to start revoking some of these dumbass coaches opportunities because that S show they got in Detroit, it's a train wreck waiting to happen, and I'm sitting here, I got my popcorn waiting for it." Close quote. All right, so let us discuss. He's not alone. Steve Smith is not alone. There's other people that have also jumped on, piggybacked on this particular story. And here we are heading into week two, and this is still a topic of conversation, what happened on the sidelines in a random moment back in week one. And yet, you know, we're discussing it on the radio because it's interesting. The fallout is an interesting thing to me. And the Lions defensively, though, give you an idea how bad they were, they gave up 442 yards to the 49ers, and it should have been worse than that. So let's get into it. The question, was the Lions defensive backs coach, Aubrey Pleasant, inbounds or out of bounds? So I am voting inbounds. Inbounds on this one. I've got Hector, Peppermint Patty, and Poppycock. And we'll connect all of these things together, and we are going to make a delicious plate of nachos. Because I haven't had nachos in a while, and I like nachos. All right, now, first of all, I have no issue with Aubrey Pleasant. I'd never really heard of Aubrey Pleasant until a couple of days ago. But just in general, a coach getting in the face of one of their players. I know the idea is taboo among a polite society today. It's very foreign for some people. But not for me. I've had experiences and how I relate to this and radio. I've had hothead program directors that have screamed and yelled and shouted and pounded the table and done all kinds of crazy things. And the program director's your coach. I've had other coaches, program directors that were very calm and calculated and methodical and didn't really give you much feedback at all. I'm fine either way. I'm fine either way. But this guy, Pleasant, was exasperated by what he was watching. They had gone through the entire exhibition season, the training camp, all of that, and the Lions secondary came out there and was disemboweled by the Niners. His guys were unable to tie their own shoes the way they were playing. So what did the defensive back coach do? He took a page out of Tony Robbins' handbook, Awaken the Giant Within, right? Tough love. And in the fog of pigskin, that is what happens. It is an emotional sport. Emotion is a big part of this, and coaches are emotional as well. Coaches have been cursing out players since Hector was a pup. They've been cursing out players. And later in the broadcast, it is important to note that later in that Fox broadcast, they showed Aubrey Pleasant and the defensive back that he screamed and shouted and yelled about, embracing, smiling, and going and do a little head bump. And that was after he had made another bonehead play. And so the fact that this continues to have legs a week after, almost a full week after it happened, is emasculating, is the word I will use. What are we doing here? All right, so a player makes a bad play, coach yells at player, doesn't hit the player, points at the player angrily, and this has to be debated for an entire week, and the coaching staff of the Lions needs to be condemned because of that? That's good coaching. You should get a raise for that. Now, secondly, this is one of those social media-driven stories. It is a reminder that when you look for pearl clutching, you will find pearl clutching. There's no need to call a war tribunal. Don't need to do it. Doesn't raise to the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. I did not show up on my sonar. Did not. I file this under contrived silliness. That's the category. Contrived silliness. It's abracadabra. We live in a world filled with hallucinations. Many people hallucinating and they're not doing drugs. How does this happen? Well, I'll tell you how it happens. You mix together a media thirsty. Thirsty for 24/7 original content, along with a handful, and I do mean a handful, of Peppermint Patty types who are outraged by everything. The kind of snooping, scumbag neighbors that call you out for a code violation. Those kind of people. The people when you're in a homeowners association that raise a ruckus because you violated one of the 7,000 rules. It's those type of people, and Twitter is filled with those type of people. And the media, they are scouring social media to try to find anyone upset by anything because it makes good media, makes good print, or in this case, digital print. And they call social media the public square. The problem is it is a very small square, very small. Social media gives you a warped sense of reality. At some point, I hope I live long enough, major companies will realize that they've been bamboozled. They've been led astray. They've been hornswoggled. Hasn't happened yet. But 2% of Americans, 2%, 1% of Americans are contributing to the vast majority of dialogue in the public square. Now, 2%, that's it. But yet, the media, they keep coming up with these stories because you know 24 hours a day, you can find someone offended by something. And you can take one comment by some loser and then turn it into a story. And they have an uncanny ability, the media, that goes through all this stuff of finding stories and creating them out of thin air. Rinse, wash, and repeat. All right, final thought. So we need to revisit the comments made by Steve Smith, former NFL player. Now he wears makeup. He's on television doing his thing. Good for him. Coaches and players, he said, are on a level playing field, and we need to start revoking some of the dumbass coaches' opportunities. So what is that? You know what that is? Poppycock, right? That's soft serve. You would think Steve Smith, who had an edge to him when he played as a receiver, would not have that position. What is that about? Right? Coaches and players are not on a level playing field today. They weren't on a level playing field yesterday or the day before that, and they're certainly not going to be on a level playing field tomorrow or the day after. Never will be. Everyone has to quote Bill Belichick, do your job. Players play, coaches motivate, they have to deal with the X's and O's, and the fact that Detroit is an S show, that's not exactly breaking news. The Lions have been that way since Bobby Lane was part of that franchise. The curse of Bobby Lane. It's a train wreck waiting to happen. That is what's known as low-hanging fruit. And good job by Steve Smith, because low-hanging fruit is the most delicious fruit. The Lions have an underwhelming roster. They were a train wreck before Dan Campbell took over. It was Jim Caldwell, who actually had some decent Detroit teams. Jim Caldwell, who came up with the phrase for the Lions facility, the Dungeon of Doom. The Dungeon of Doom. That was Caldwell. And he actually, I believe he's one of the guys that made the playoffs when he was coaching there, if I remember correctly. There haven't been very many Lions coaches that have guided the franchise to the postseason. It is the Ben Maller Show. If you would like to comment on that or anything else, you are more than welcome. You can join us here at 877-99 on Fox. That's 877-996-6369. We had a thriller in Landover, Maryland at FedEx Field. The Giants leading until time ran out, but on an untimed down, the idiot kicker for the Washington football team, formerly known as the Redskins, he made the kick after missing the kick, and Washington, because of a penalty, a egregious mistake by one of the New York Giants, defensive players who happened to be playing on special teams, jumped offsides on a missed field goal attempt. And because of that, the Washington football team got another opportunity. So a game ball does go. Special game ball to Dexter Lawrence. That's the cat that did not have cat-like reflexes and jumped offsides. Bad job by him. And so Washington's 1-1. The Giants are 0-2. And congratulations. We failed to get to this earlier. But congratulations to the Giants. With that loss, the New York Giants are now alone in the catbird seat at the very bottom. The very bottom. They have the most losses in the NFL since the start of the 2017 season. Most losses. Holy Lawrence Taylor, Batman. How did that happen? Bill Parcells ain't walking through that door. Most losses in the NFL since 2017. The New York Giants. And somewhere there's a New York Jets fan laughing and saying, see, I told you. It's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. We will press on and on and on. In need of lucky charms. We'll get to that. And we will do it next. Everyone loves the donkey, and I like being the donkey.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, Maller Militia? The Ben Maller Show is the show of the people, by the people, for the people. Join the movement and follow your host on Twitter. He's at Ben Maller. And you can tweet at and follow our technical producer. He plays all the music and most of the funny sound bites on the Ben Maller Show. His first name is Roberto. His last name is Flores. You can follow him at Raider underscore Rob 24.
I'll go with the porn star.
Yeah, Roberto!
And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Look forward to lame jokes. Coming up a little bit later in the hour. Down the line, not that far down the line, Mason writes in from Southern California in beautiful Huntington Beach. Big fan of Huntington Beach. He says, regarding that story from the other day about Nick Saban and his love of D's nuts jokes, I can't remember if Coop was working that night. But anyway, I was thinking earlier for tonight's lame joke segment. He's putting the over-under on Nick Saban testicular ball humor at 5. And he also says he hopes, says, P.S., I hope to hear a good Norm McDonald joke. Well, I don't know about that one. That's up to Coopaloop. That's Coop's real estate over there. Coop does the offensive joke of the week or offensive jokes of the week.
No.
So it's at his discretion.
It's not
so
happening.
So Norm's getting the Kobe treatment.
I love Norm. I know Norm probably would, but I mean,
Norm would probably be like,
he'd probably tell the joke. But I mean, what do you even say? Like, how do you insult the guy? He was awesome.
He was awesome. Yeah.
Well, no, he's a very, very funny comedian, and I the thing I respect most about Norm MacDonald is he didn't milk this. You know, he was sick, and nobody knew about it.
Yeah.
Like, I respect that he kept it private. And somebody that's in entertainment and Hollywood and the public eye and all that, and he didn't, you know, do the rounds and do all the woe is me interviews and all that.
No, I get what you mean, but obviously that's totally up to them and you know, do, you
you're
know,
upset.
Do whatever.
You're upset because you were not prepared for this. No one's prepared for this.
Yes, I just feel like, you know, there were chances that I could have had, you know, to go and see him, but, yeah. You know, you're not like... You're not thinking, oh, I better go do it because it could be the last time.
Yeah. Well, I side with the late Norm MacDonald on this, and because it makes sense. What kind of cancer did he have? Do we know what got him? Do we know what kind of cancer?
None of the articles that I read.
Okay.
Like, you know.
Well, because there's different degrees. Obviously, there's a million different kinds of cancer which suck, and so it depends what you get. But if he had one where you got a shot to beat it. You don't want to let that out because then, as the people saying for him, they would feel bad. They'd have you get sympathy laughs, and he probably thought he was going to be able to beat it, and he'd be okay, and then it wouldn't matter. So, anyway, all right. Let's see. Let's take a call. I guess we'll take a phone call. Why not? Who do we have? Let's say hello to David in Winter Park, Florida. Hello, David, with Roscoe the parrot, his sidekick.
Good morning, Benjamin. By the way, how come you didn't mention Roscoe on Benny versus the Penny last week?
I'm sorry, I screwed that up. I will make sure today at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, I will make sure to mention.
By the way, Benny versus the Penny, folks, it's the best sports handicapping program in the country.
Wow, well, very, very kind of you. Thank you, David. I appreciate that. Now, do you have any picks, David? Do you have any games?
Oh, by the way, at the 1:55 mark left in the show when you and David get down. We're talking about the California recall.
Who?
All right. David, it came on the stream for 10 seconds. At David Corcoran, Roscoe DePera said,
who?
This is the quote. At David Corcoran.
You don't need to keep it.
Roscoe DePera said, Raider Nation, get the cash. raiders plus 4.5 versus. Wow. The Ravens, and of course, the Raiders did get the cash and won the game.
Okay, and but that was last week. Now, what about this week?
Right.
What about
three
this
weeks
week?
Ago? I told you before it all came out that the Houston Texans would destroy the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that's exactly what happened. Despite 90% of the public. All the money.
Well, that was a kamikaze pick, was it? That was you got it right. Congratulations, but
thank you. Well, you run a lot too. That's why you're very good at what you do, Ben.
Well, thank you. You don't need to suck up. But David, any game you like this weekend, David? My picks, you can make your pick, David.
Yeah. Can I say this? Can I ask this question real quick? Is that address you gave me in Boston 2.5 years ago to write a letter to you through Fox Sports Radio? It's in Sherman Oaks?
Yes, the number, right. I can't believe it's been that long, but yes, that is the same address you can send mail to.
15260 Ventura.
Oh, you know, yes, Ventura Boulevard, Sherman Oaks, California, right there. So suite, four or something?
Suite 400? Right. Yeah. Why I'm saying it, I have a number of future bets that I made in Whiskey, Mississippi, including the Buccaneers to win 2000, I had it in May, right? The Rays winning the American League, that's in, 5-1, plus 480 to win the AL, and the Giants minus 120 to win 1000. You know, I have no tickets. I'm going to photocopy it, send it next week, and then you're going to write to me to tell me the ground rules. It's corporate around non-employees in the studio. Or you have to be.
California is going backwards, David. I don't think you'll be allowed in
all right.
anytime.
Okay, anything. That's
but
great.
Thank you,
I'm
David.
Not driving. All right.
Don't drive to California. David's the guy that drove to Boston. He lives in Florida, Winter Park, Florida, and he drove to Boston to hang out with us at the Maller meet and greet. And I was very flattered he did that. The meet and greet lasted maybe 90 minutes, but he drove all the way up, and it was interesting. And he had Roscoe the Stuffed Parrot. Let's say hello to Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. Let's go to Willie, who's in Tennessee. Hello, Willie. Hello, Willie. Willie. Did we free Willie?
No, I'm on to this guy now.
Yeah,
so we put him on cue.
Ah, okay. You're ending the guy's fun, though. The guy that calls up with the different audio, the odd audio that he plays. Okay. All right. Good job, Coop.
Thank you.
It's taken 5 years, but we've gotten to the bottom of this game. You know what you got to do is you got to turn on the caller ID, and then we can call the FBI, because it is illegal to phony phone call a radio station, I think. I might be wrong on that, but it could be illegal. So they asked Tom Brady. They said, hey, Tom, what advice do you have to young quarterbacks who want to have a lengthy career like you? Do you know what Tom Brady said? What do you think he said? Huh? He said a young quarterback that wants to model their career after Tom Brady needs to have, quote, good luck, is what he said. Lucky charms.
And the tuck rule.
You're not bitter about that as a Raider fan, though, Roberto, right? You're not bitter
about that. No, not at all.
No? Yeah. I got you. So Tom's saying like he's not like good. He's just been lucky. It's kind of like what he's saying. He's downplaying it. We do have another Tom Brady Maller monologue, our 7,246th Tom Brady Maller monologue coming up next hour. So the end of the rainbow not near, not in sight, in fact. Bad news for those that were spreading the Deshaun Watson's about to be traded. The noise that was going around. Remember before the season, a couple weeks back, the guy Yahoo Robinson and Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk were spreading rumors Deshaun Watson's about to be traded, he's about to be traded, blah, 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 blah. Well, we knew that was a bunch of bullcrap, and it has been all but confirmed now that it is, here's the report, looking more unlikely that Deshaun Watson's criminal case, there's no criminal charges yet, just the investigation by both the FBI and local law enforcement in Houston is not going to end before the NFL trade deadline. The NFL trade deadline is November 2nd. Here we are sitting in mid-September, so we've got the second half of September, all of October, and the first couple days of November, and the expectation is that the police investigation is still going. So let me ask you this. Does that mean there's something there? Otherwise, wouldn't you wrap up the investigation? Riddle me that, Batman. If there's nothing there and Deshaun Watson, there's no case, there's no, it's not looking like criminal charges, then why would you continue on and on if there's nothing at all? There's no smoke. Or option B is there's a lot going on and they're trying to sort through all of it. And there is something there. There's some meat on the bone. Or in Deshaun Watson terms, there's a kielbasa on the grill. And so that they're trying to figure out what to do.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Beyer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I saw this story and I knew I had to bring it up on the Ben Maller Show.
Okay,
did
good.
You see, this is from college football.
Yes.
I guess Notre Dame and Purdue are playing this weekend there at in South Bend, Indiana.
Touchdown, Jesus.
But Purdue's going to be shorthanded in this game. They will not have the world's largest drum with them.
Why not? What happened? Did somebody steal it? Did some Notre Dame steal the student?
No. Notre Dame has told them that this gigantic drum they have, which is 10 feet tall and weighs 565 pounds, they can only use it, get into the stadium through the visitor's door. They can't use Notre Dame's door to bring in the world's largest drum, and it won't fit through the visitor's door.
So why don't they bring in a helicopter and drop it in via helicopter?
I guess that's not an option. And so the world's largest drum will not be allowed inside Notre Dame Stadium. I don't know how Purdue is going to be able to compete without the world's largest drum, but somehow maybe they'll use this as a rallying cry. Win one for the largest drum. I don't know. But the world's largest drum will not be in attendance at the Purdue-Notre Dame game. It's very sad.
I read that for the past, this goes back 100 years. Is that right?
Is it 100 years? That's a long time.
Yeah, for the past 100 years. And this is the first performance.
The world's largest drum was built in 1921. It is celebrating its 100th birthday this year.
Wow. Okay, so the 100th year with the largest drum. And the last time that Purdue played without the drum, 1979, the last time.
It's a lot of big drum games.
This is not the first time Purdue plays at Notre Dame, though, right?
No, they play. That's true.
But apparently they let them bring it through the other door before, but this time they decided, nope, not going to do
it. Wow.
Eddie, that's a fat drum. Do you see how much that thing weighs?
Yeah, 565 pounds.
Yeah, I didn't realize that when you said, I'm looking at a photo of the drum.
Wow,
here.
Bro.
And, man. That's pretty crazy. Purdue hasn't had a good football team since Drew Brees was there, have they?
Not really, no.
Yeah. It seems like they haven't had a really good team. But, man, I'm looking at that thing. And is that like – if you're in the band at Purdue, you're like the coolest band person when you get to bang the drum and the big drum, right? It looks like there's two people that have to do it, right? There's multiple. You've got
there's a couple of guys that just pull it. They don't play it. They just have to.
They're the donkeys.
Wheel it around.
They're the drum mules, not the drum majors. The drum mules at Purdue. That's like, let's see, college football traditions. You have the Buffalo in Colorado, right, running out in the field.
Ralphie.
You got Dot the I at Ohio State. You've got that the Trojan Horse, which I don't think they're doing anymore. Are they still doing that at USC?
I don't know why.
I thought there were some people complaining about the horse running out of the tunnel and all that stuff and whatnot. What other college traditions are we?
Oh my God, there's a million different.
Well, the big ones. I know there's a lot. They only have a live in LSU in Baton Rouge. They still have the live lion.
They do. I don't know if they bring him to the games.
Tiger?
But they have
Tiger, rather. Tiger.
Yeah, Tiger. They have his name's
Lions
Mike.
Lions on my mind. What's it?
His name's Mike.
Oh.
And they have like a habitat there on campus.
Know what's cool? I've been to Oklahoma. I saw the Sooner.
Schooner?
Sooner bred, Sooner born. When I die, I'll be Sooner dead.
They have the War Eagle that flies around there at Auburn
for
the game.
All exciting. Yeah. All right. I think we're done.
Okay.
Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week for the rest of the hour. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are always looking to proliferate the Maller Militia, help our grassroots movement, add new listeners to the Ben Maller Show. Support our noble efforts by posting comments about the show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and all other social media. You have the power to influence others to join the cult of the Ben Maller Show. And now live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, it's Ben Maller.
Knock, knock. Who's there? Lame week. Lame week who? It's Big Ben's lame joke of the week.
That it is. Each and every weekend about this time, Big Ben's lame jokes of the week. Actual jokes sent in by actual listeners. If you're easily offended by jokes, this is not the segment for you. Kindly turn off the radio. But if you have a sense of humor, have some fun. Why not? Let's get into it. Lame jokes of the week. What do they call an airplane when Lizzo is aboard?
I don't know. What do they call it?
Grounded. Surfer Todd, the comedian in SoCal.
Have the Lizzo jokes been kind of the longest running jokes we've had? I mean, they've been going
Bartolo Colon lasted a while, but he stopped pitching in the big leagues, they moved on to Lizzo. They had to get, for a while we had no fat person to goof on, but then we moved to Lizzo. How fat is Lizzo?
How fat is she?
Lizzo is so fat, when she gets on an elevator, it only goes down, Eddie. That's it. It only goes. That's just Josh in Cincinnati. Well, why did Lizzo stop releasing music on CDs?
I don't know. Why did she stop doing that?
Well, she got offended when someone said CDs nuts and then had no almonds, cashews, or peanuts on hand. So she was offended by that. That's James the Machinist in Minnesota. Did you hear that the Met Gala leaders had refused to invite Lizzo?
I did not know that. What happened?
Well, yeah, they had the $30,000 ticket price. They said that would not cover her catering costs. So they had to keep her away. That's Gordy in Tacoma. This is from John in Colorado. Have you tried the new Bartolo cologne?
I have not. How is it?
This is a throwback joke. It smells like Dunkin' Donuts and Kentucky Fried Chicken. So
that's not bad.
Yeah, both a fan of both. Why did Nick Saban, I hope Mason in Huntington Beach is listening. Why did Nick Saban tell Deshaun Watson to start acting like a squirrel?
Why did he do that?
It's time to hide those nuts, is what he said. That's Surfer Todd, the comedian. Why are the Texans only going to put Deshaun Watson into games when they are behind in the fourth quarter?
I don't know. Why is that?
Because they know when the pressure is on, they can count on him to pull one out, Eddie. They can. So Chip from Maine sent that one in. How are the Chicago Bears trying their best to avoid COVID?
I don't know. How are they trying to avoid that?
By staying 15 yards away from all opposing receivers, Eddie. And they did a great job. Bill, that's from Chris in Des Moines. Bill Belichick was asked if he likes CDs.
Oh, yeah?
His response was, sorry, I prefer floppy disks. That was his response. So James the Machinist. Coop, you got anything over there, Coop?
Yeah, I've got one here.
All right.
Roses are black, violets are black, according to Blind Scott. Oh. From Kurt from Earth.
There you go.
Because he can't see. So
yeah.
Everything's...
I figured that out. What would happen if you went to a dominatrix in Detroit and said, I want to be totally humiliated for $150?
I don't know. What would happen?
The dominatrix would give you a Detroit Lions t-shirt and two tickets to a Lions game. So, Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. Did you hear that Blind Scott recently wrote to Mike Lindell, the founder of MyPillow?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he asked Mike to develop a device called My Wife, is what he asked for. Inca Terror in New York sent that one in. What would Whoopi Pie Blair be if he saw the light and became religious?
I don't know. What would he be?
A porn-again Christian is what he would be. That's Eek in Roseville, Minnesota, is going to be struck by lightning, as will I, for reading that joke. What do you call a man with half a brain?
Blind Scott?
No, Gordon in Tacoma, according to Tammy in Montana. So there's that. Tammy also sent this one in. Ozzie Momentum smells so bad.
How bad does he smell?
He makes right guard turn left and speed stick slow down, Eddie. That's how bad. Anything else, Coop? Any other jokes, Coopaloo?
Nah.
All right. Coop's out of the show for now. How are yeast and Sir Scratch-Off alike?
I have no idea how they alike.
They are both in bread, Eddie. In bread. That's Chris in Des Moines sent that one in. Did you hear that Marcel was creating a sequel to Food Picks where you have to guess when he last went to the bathroom?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah. He calls it I Pooped Picks is what he calls it there. That's John from Kentucky. How do you get Robbie the Mariners fan to go to the rodeo?
I don't know. How do you get him to go to the rodeo?
You tell him you're taking him to the Golden Corral. And he's all about it. That's just Josh in Cincinnati. What does Blair in Maine call a mosquito landing on Marcel's face?
I don't know. What does he call that?
A golden opportunity. There you go. What does Sir Scratch-Off call roadkill covered in maggots?
Oh, boy. I don't know.
Rice pudding.
Nasty.
It's just Josh in Cincinnati. How does Blind Scott check his oil?
I don't know. How does he check his oil?
He reads the plunger is what he does there. That's it. Right there. That's just Josh in Cincinnati. How did beer drinking Brian find out he had a bladder infection?
I don't know. How did he find that out?
Well, Doc Mike told him, you're in trouble. So John the jailer sent that one in. What were the results of Doc Mike's CT scan?
I don't know. What were the results?
Well, turns out he had a pea brain. What does Marcel say when Uncle Dynamite blesses the noodles?
I don't know. What does he say?
Ramen. So, just Josh in Cincinnati. Did you hear that Weedman player host to a apparently lost his... Oh, I can't even read. Who wrote this?
Take two.
No, that was a terrible joke.
Oh, it's over? Oh, wow.
No.
What a way to end.
There was an extra word in the joke, Eddie. I didn't proofread.